historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're starting hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her history moment today is about a Spanish conquistador in El Paso before Oñate, and before it was called El Paso.
There's gold in them thar hills. January 24, 1848, gold is discovered at Sutter's Mill in California, and the rush is on. People with gold fever from around the world head to California's mother lode and have to pass right through El Paso on their way. El Paso, known as Franklin then, was the midpoint and the southernmost snow-free route through the Rocky Mountains and offered gold seekers year-round passage to California. They came first in a few pack trains, then a large wave of gold seekers. Franklin was just a sleepy border town, and supplies were low initially. And at times, the town was overrun with as many as 4,000 travelers in 1,500 wagons perched at the edge of the Rio Grande. But some very savvy business people saw a bonanza could be made right here from the gold seekers. Businesses started to spring up in Franklin, and the following year, Fort Bliss was established. There was no turning back, and soon Franklin grew into El Paso. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went on and found Bernie standing there yelling at me about services. And also, the Spanish conquistadors, they had to be conquistadors, the guys before Oñate, because, I mean, they weren't up here just, you know, passing out candy. They were trying to conquer people.
Well, you had conquistadors, but you also had soldiers. And then you also had explorers.
What's the difference?
No, there's a total difference.
Really?
A conquistador was in service to the
Spain.
King of Spain. Then you had people that were explorers that were kind of like, you have the people that go out today and do the like engineers and things like that that go
out. Like Emory and
surveys.
Surveys and such. You had people like that too. So they were not necessarily military.
But they had guns, I'll bet you.
Well, they had something definitely at that time.
Wow, they're not going to wander in the new territory unarmed.
Well, and then they had a priest with a big cross out there. But actually, they were pretty successful, and they made it back. Unlike the first expedition, I don't think they were successful. I think
the
ones that disappeared off into the north, and the Espejo and the Beltran found out about the group before them that did not survive.
Where was the Coronado expedition in relation to those guys? Because Coronado, he went to Palo Duro Canyon.
He didn't come to El Paso. He went to the Rio Grande, but it was at the north, up towards Albuquerque.
He sent people over that way.
Yeah, he went up into Arizona, Mogollon Rim, in that area.
So we have a hotel in San Diego.
But you see, that's just it. He got the shopping center. But he was never here.
In high school.
In the high school and the
Coronado.
Mountains. Yeah.
Oh, what a bizarre thing. Well, that's all for the History Alliance. You do these things, right?
That's right.
Bunch of folks.
I love little bits and pieces of history. And also, you know, with the Suma, the Native Americans, we talk about the Chiguas all the time. But we don't talk a lot about the peoples that were before the Chiguas.
There's not much left of them to know about.
Yeah, they're trying to rebuild their history and their language and such.
There's one last Mohican left down there, I think.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, it's like the Chiguas. I mean, they've been kind of, as we say,
assimilated
with the Hispanics.
The Chiguas were hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
Because they were told that if they had a lot of Indian attitude, they were going to get killed.
Well,
they became
Mexicans
instantly.
That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the true blood, a full-blooded.
Oh, well.
And that's happened all throughout the West. I mean, you have the same thing in California where I came from. Those tribes are they're mixed with the Hispanic blood because there was so much Mexican influence.
Well, the Indians mixed all up and down. You had the Piros, the Tom Piros, and the other Piros or whatever they were. And some of them ended up being Tiguas.
But that's what I'm saying. There's just so much mix. I mean, you know, it's nothing wrong or whatever. It's just the way it was.
All right, go back to Facebook thinking here. Read your script. Call Bernie. Now use that number. If you want to get involved in this stuff with the...
Now they can call the house at 915-581-7920 and talk to Bernie when he gets there later today.
It's not 544-5879?
No, it's not.
Oh, no, it's the other one. Okay.
No, you can call this one and you'll get an answer machine.
But this is the crowd on Facebook and they do a great job.
They do a wonderful job.
And they got
given Bainey and her crew.
All these
everything.
Administrators. Ken Weiss is another one out there.
That's where I find a lot of information. A lot of times it's going to Remember in El Paso When, because these people put up these stories, these pictures, these people put their own stuff up. And if you do find some information on there and you share it, be nice enough to share where you got it from or how you found it. It's always nice to share who's put the hard work into what you've found in our national.
Well, you can be put in Facebook jail if you don't do that right.
Yeah, some cases.
She has been. So just Barbara.
She got put in jail?
Facebook jail.
Oh no.
So, I mean,
tin cup.
You gotta attribute
dirty coppers.
the pictures correctly. All right, enough of all that. That's a fun thing to do. And now moving back to Mr. Bernard, where do we end up here, Bernie? Bernie Sargent's in the house, and Bernie Sargent is one of those people, if you don't know who he is, you haven't been listening to radio or TV much lately, because we've got you out there on purpose, because you know what the heck you're doing. That's why I got involved with you.
Well, I make mistakes along the way, but I try to resurrect the facts and correct the mistakes
Be humble as you wish, but I can also edit those out.
Yeah, you can.
So we have perfect television. We're cooking it.
A historian should always be humble, not...
I need to have you over at the house sometime so you can edit up my comments to my wife.
I don't think I want to get anywhere near that conversation.
Happens. Oh, that never happens.
Never got involved in that. But the point is, the El Paso history that we're talking about on the radio show on a weekly basis is pretty much common knowledge if you're in the historical community of El Paso. Mm-hmm. But if you grew up and went to public school here, you don't know much about it.
That's true.
It's not taught in the public schools, and that's a shame.
Less and less every year.
Well, I hear some teachers now are listening to the radio show once in a while and pushing El Paso history. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, if you had El Paso history understood by every student, at least to some degree, like what's a Mission Trail, what did Pancho Villa really do about this place here, what did the railroads, how did that impact the West, this country, and the city? If you had those kind of facts in your brain when you left school, you'd be a pretty good little ambassador for who we are here.
Sure.
You at least talk about it. You know, how is the Mexican-American community working with the Anglos and all that? This is one of the most homogenous organizations known as El Paso I have ever heard of.
Yeah, it's
as far as cities go.
Talking about melding.
We
melded quite well.
I grew up as a kid here, and I thought I was half Mexican because I ate the food. But I figured out that wasn't true after I was about six. And I didn't care. It's still fun.
Yeah.
But the thing about El Paso and the history, what you have done coming in from not having been born here, you've learned a whole lot more than most of us who were born here.
I try.
And you have done it by looking into stuff. So what have you found out? We've got Mr. James Wiley pretty much understood, I think, unless you got some more facts.
Well, there's a lot of interesting things about Wiley and his involvement with the Civil War. You started to ask that question.
Happened with that?
Yeah, well, he was a Southern sympathizer, okay, as was his two sons, Samuel and Joseph. They were all Southern sympathizers. Now, James didn't take an active role in the Civil War as his sons did.
Did any of them have slaves?
They had servants.
But did they call them slaves?
No.
Okay, so they didn't have slaves?
No.
Okay.
The term they used was servants. They were treated quite well.
Did they pay them, let them go out and leave town? No.
Well,
those were slaves.
They had access to the community. But where do you go when you're living in El Paso in those times? Now, I will tell you one thing about, you know, I mentioned Kearney, who had marched into Santa Fe.
Right.
He and Donovan had drafted papers to control that area, the area that they were assuming, which was from Santa Fe South. And in there, they abolished slavery.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And they were very anti-slave. So that was an interesting anecdote to the history of the Southwest.
Well, you're talking in the 1840s and then the 1848 or 49, was it the treaty?
46, 47, 48.
And the treaty came along there and set in stone the purchase of the Gadsden.
The Gadsden purchase.
All that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Santa Ana got to sell Mexico one more time.
Oh, yeah.
And
he made a lot of money selling Mexico.
He did. He sold it several times. Mm-hmm. But the point was that that then came forward into the 1850s. Mm-hmm. El Paso had San Elizario mm-hmm. as a county seat. Mm-hmm. You get the 60s. You had the Civil War. So all this hit the fan for the MacGoffins. Mm-hmm. And I presume they left town.
Well, one of the reasons also I didn't mention was the reason why James Wiley stayed on this side of the river. He was very well respected in Mexico. But because he was so successful in bringing his wagons from Missouri through Santa Fe south and not being attacked by the natives, they assumed that he was supplying weapons to them.
Oh.
So the Mexican government took offense to that.
Oh.
And they had raised the tariffs to such a point that taking product into Mexico and selling it was not profitable anymore. So he stayed on this side of the river.
He had big warehouses in El Paso.
He did.
And was he trading only north and south, or was there any place else to trade?
East and west. We had people traveling from the east to the west through here. Not in significant numbers yet, but they were traveling through here. So he was supplying them, and he was supplying the military.
So he'd sell stuff anywhere he could.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And where were the – was that MacGoffinsville, which is down
yes.
in – now MacGoffin Home is on property that was MacGoffinsville.
Was MacGoffin's.
And then it continues east for a bunch of blocks?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, they had several hundred acres that were part of the MacGoffinsville at one time.
So all that down near Cotton Street and all that area was uh-huh. originally MacGoffin home or property?
Yeah, and he also owned property up in Anthony, where he was the first one to raise barley in this area.
Barley?
Barley. Well, it was horse feed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they good whiskey.
Good whiskey. There you
barley
go.
Barley whiskey.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, my. Either drink it or give it to the horse.
Horses were drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So then he and his sons became suppliers to the Confederacy. But his sons became commissioned officers. He told them he had no interest in being an active participant. They had enough soldiers as it was. And by then, he and his family had gone down to San Antonio, where they were living sort of in retreat initially with the Confederates and then further east. And he ultimately ended up back in San Antonio, where he passed away years later.
By the way, he needs a
decent grave marker. The grave marker they have for him right now is just kind of a little tiny obscure.
And where is it?
In San Antonio.
What happened to the property in El Paso during the Civil War?
It was taken over by the when the California regulars came through here, they assumed possession of all this property, and they pretty much took his citizenship and his kid's citizenship away from them, and they had to leave. And it wasn't until the late 1860s that they were able to secure their citizenship and then work to get their property back.
They being Joseph?
Joseph, yeah. Joseph and Samuel.
And Samuel came back and helped mm-hmm. rebuy or whatever?
Yeah.
Did they have to pay again for their own property?
I think they had a nominal amount they had to pay.
But they end up repossessing.
They got it back, yeah.
All of MacGoffinsville, the whole.
Yes.
Okay, so, and then by then, the military had pretty much had it with that location.
Yeah, I think there was a series of floods that took place and they ended up in Concordia.
The heck with that stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, all they did was move up to a little higher ground.
Up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, they didn't move very far.
No, not far at all.
And Concordia actually was on sort of a mesa, kinda.
Yeah.
And then you go from like the freeway and it goes down a little bit in the old days.
Yeah, you can actually see what geographically, you know, you had last week you were talking about the way the continent was split in half
right.
and eventually grew together. You can see that by, you know, the escarpment, so to speak, looking down into the valley, which is the Rio Grande Valley.
Well, that also used to be a lake. At one point down near Sierra Blanca, it was blocked up. And so all of El Paso and Juarez was once upon a time a lake.
That was part of the Gulf, if you look at it.
Well, yeah, way back. Yeah. But I mean in modern times even, the last 10,000 years, give or take, El Paso and Juarez were one lake bed.
There was a lot of water here.
Oh, my goodness. Interesting stuff here. Well, so the MacGoffin crowd, they got their land back after the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And then they began to prosper?
Well, very much so. You know, Joseph was a very smart businessman. And he ultimately became mayor several times of El Paso. And he was instrumental in starting some of the first banks. He was instrumental in starting the trolley. he was interesting.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. And the electric company, things like water utilities.
That's
so
right.
So he was a mover and shaker. Yeah, he really was.
Well, I don't know where he learned all that because, I mean, as a kid, he didn't grow up in it.
He was college educated, so that helped him.
So, okay.
He was educated east of here.
Ah, so he had seen a bigger piece of the world.
Yeah, I'd seen the real world.
Interesting stuff, those MacGoffins.
Yeah.
Now, and go ahead. We have about a minute before we go take a break here.
Okay. I want to touch on the Mormon brigade that traveled with Kearney and where they came from and what they were all about. Because they traveled with Kearney originally to Santa Fe and then ultimately with Cook down south into San Diego.
Well, all those commanders Mormons?
No.
But the Mormon Brigade was Mormon.
Mormon Brigade, they were all Mormons. They were conscripted, so to speak, And I'll tell you that, I'll tell that story.
This was their service, perhaps.
Yeah, and there was a reason for it.
Okay, we'll talk about that with Bernie Sargent in a bit. The phones are already ringing. Look at there. And we're gonna do some trivia.
Yes, we should.
You want to go ahead and ask the questions now?
I'll ask the questions so we can get to those, too. Okay. Well, do we want to take the phone calls first and then ask it so we can get it clear? Because that would not be fair if they were all the phone
I'll
answer.
Deal with it. Shelly's got it on.
Okay. What was James Wiley McGoffin's Mexican nickname? That's the first question. And which U.S. president commissioned James Wiley McGoffin to lead General Kearney and his troops to a peaceful capture of Santa Fe?
Or he would have shot somebody if he had to.
Yeah, well,
you know he would have.
You got to get somebody that's got to understand how to do these things right. So.
All right, Shelley, is that a trivia question or is that a something else? We don't know. We're going to take a break.
544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Hey guys, don't mind me as I interrupt your radio program. It's Sue Cosner, sexual health expert, on men's performance in the bedroom. Do me a favor and don't touch that dial. That's a mistake. If you've been listening to this radio station, you've probably heard a compelling radio ad for Noxetril, the potent all-natural male enhancement pill. Men constantly reach out and ask me, does this Noxetril really work? Or is it just another scam product? I can tell you there's nothing better than Noxetril. I recommend this super pill to men everywhere. It will transform your life in the bedroom once and for all. Strong, powerful results that increase your blood flow fast. No prescription, no side effects. Just imagine Viagra on steroids. So call Noxetril now and take advantage of an incredible free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
Find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-1560. That's 800-993-1560. Free bottles for a limited time, so call now. 800-993-1560. 800-993-1560.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-359-7047. 800-359-7047. 800-359-7047.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on here. Phone calls are coming in, 544-5876. Let you know, next week we're going to talk to the people from the UTEP Special Collections. Talking about the Sonicson Special Collections, we should maybe make a trivia question. How do you spell Sonicson? Well, if you didn't look it up, could you do it? Yeah, you might not be able to. But also, archives in El Paso, there's always been a discussion about, gee, we need a place to put archives, and the Historical Society, they're packed over there, and UTEP itself, mm-hmm. they're looking for space, so there's something to think about. Next week, we talk to that crowd.
We got a closet.
You want to put them in your closet?
Oh, we already have so much stuff there.
No, I want to pick through some of the stuff and pick it and take it.
Well, that's next week on April the 6th. You got a live remote broadcast at El Paso Community College, the Valverde campus. We're going to be down there celebrating 50 years of EPCC with interviews and people at the Valverde campus. It's a public event. They want us down there to try to attract people to show up. So if you want to come down and see what it looks like, it's like making sausage. You don't really want to watch a way a it's new show or radio show is put together. But if you really want to, April the 6th, we'll be down there doing that. April 13th, Preservation Month. We've got all kinds of things coming up there. And there's all kinds of people calling up to get on this radio show. I've got to tell you, another one thing is going to happen. Real quick, we'll have more details as it gets nearer. April the 14th, put this on your calendar, 2:30 p.m. at the Philanthropy Theater. You're going to find the Community Foundation's Jewel Box Series presenting something called Texas Triptych. Texas Triptych.
What?
It's a play written by a young woman who is putting it on with volunteers, and it's all here it is. Through the currents of the language, with its bounds and boundlessness, the play asks, how does our ebbing Rio Grande speak? That's the play.
Mouth full of water.
Nah, gonna spit water everywhere.
It
I don't
gurgles.
Think so. But you
it
can
gurgles.
Go you can go to El Paso ElPasoYCA.org. We'll tell you more about that as we get closer.
Okay.
A play written by a local. So there.
Huh. Oh, very good. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, we always talk about the Adam Bond. They go up there twice a year to the site way up in northern end of the White Sands Range. And they always museum up there, the New Mexico Space Museum, always puts on a great program. They have a bus tour that takes you up there to the site because it is way out in the middle of nowhere. This year, they're adding a special event to this. The night before at 5:30 p.m. in the museum, they're going to have a showing of some special exhibit items from the Apollo Space Museum or the mission because this is the 50th anniversary of the Apollo flight.
And that's right.
They've got these items that are, they got all kinds of stuff tucked away in their warehouse there. And again, this is the 50th anniversary. My God, I was 16 when that happened. One giant step for man.
I was defending our country in Kansas at the time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you're presenting
one giant
this tornado. Yeah, I was in high school going, hey. This is fantastic. I want to get up there for that. I'd like to go see this. And we went last year for the atom bomb, and I'll tell you, you got to go. That's a bucket list item to go up there and see this. But to see this on top of it would be wonderful. So go online to the New Mexico Air and Space Museum up there, and it's just a wonderful museum to go to anyway. And Chris Orwell will be giving the presentation on all this, and he is fascinating. We've had him on the show, and I'd like to get him back on sometime soon.
He's coming. Good.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
He's fun.
All right. You want to see what else is going on here in the world of trivia? We got people on
trivia.
The phone here. This is a special young lady named Barbara. Hey, Barbara. How goes it?
Hey. Jackson, I'm out of jail.
You're out of Facebook jail. This is the Barbara Given Bainey, the lady that runs that page we like.
I've seen her in there with the bars going, let me out of here.
You told me,
coppers.
You told me you're in draft
imitation.
You're in Facebook jail because of people not attributing pictures correctly or something.
No, I was falsely accused.
Oh, I see.
But now I was out within 4 hours.
Oh, even better.
By the way,
yes.
Can I do the Mexican name?
For what?
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Oh, you mean you're going to answer the trivia
question?
We're
going to make her bribe us.
Yeah, I think I can do it. I'm not sure, but we'll do it.
Okay, what was James Wiley McGoffin's Mexican nickname?
Don Santiago.
Oh, listen to you. Santiago. It was not San Diego.
Yes.
It wasn't San Diego.
It was
Santiago.
We're going to give it to her. Okay, Barbara, here's the thing. Now, you're about to win. You just won a Pepe certificate for $20.
And you all are going to split it.
I see. Oh. That's how this works. Okay. We're not going to be able to award it to you?
No. I want you all to use it.
You're
couldn't we
sweet.
Deliver the food?
Fair enough.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, maybe we could do that.
That's
free
even
delivery.
Better.
You know, DoorDash does it for $3.99. I get it for free.
Even better.
No, we didn't say that.
Oh, no. We just said we'd deliver it.
$2.99. Okay. There we go. No, I just had to give you a hard time about the San Diego.
Well, what's...
Diego and Bernie, I agree with you with the marker.
Yeah,
Wiley's marker is pretty
dismal.
It needs to be a better one.
It does. I'll talk to the THC, or I'll talk to our contact here locally, it would be Shelley and say, hey, the THC needs to do something about that.
That's right.
It's her fault.
Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty weathered and, you know, it doesn't suit.
It doesn't do him justice, not at all.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Considering everything he did for the Southwest, especially the El Paso area, really went down
Mexico.
To it.
Yeah, Mexico.
Absolutely. Well, didn't he die in San Antonio?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Barbara, you hardly ever come out of your cave. What's going on?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, anything else on your mind about Facebook or whatever? You're doing pretty good on that, aren't you?
Nothing. I mean, we've got a new admin that's been taking the pictures, as Bernie has seen on our page, mm-hmm. of all the construction that's going on downtown.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
excited.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Great.
Cool.
Finally, downtown's coming alive again.
We'll keep up the good work on Facebook page. Remember in El Paso when.
And you all keep up the good work on this program.
So far, so
and
good.
Bernie, it's always good to have you on. I enjoy it greatly.
Thank you, ma'am.
Barbara.
Don't build
I will
up.
Send you a check today.
Yes, please do.
I can't buy him any bigger hats.
And I dare you to walk
you
into
all.
Pepe's today. I dare you. All right, we're going to move on, Barbara. But you don't have to talk to Shelley unless you want to about picking up your prize, because you're not going to.
No, I'm not. You okay. all take. You're right there. You can pick it up.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot.
Thank
all
you, Barbara.
Right.
You
have an enjoyable weekend.
Take care,
thank
Barbara.
You, man. You take care. All right, now a guy I've been holding for a while named Ronnie. Thanks for holding, dude. What's up?
Oh, how you doing? Just enjoying the show. That's it.
Thank you.
Well,
thanks.
Now you have the second question we have to answer.
You want to do a trivia question?
Oh no, I'm really bad at trivia. I wanted to ask a question.
Ah. Sure.
Okay.
I wanted to know if you guys know anything about the ostrich farm that used to be in El Paso.
Ostrich farm?
How long ago?
Well, I was reading a menu from the Plaza Theater when it was a hotel.
Okay.
And you could order ostrich egg omelet in the morning.
Yeah, you could do that. And they also, I believe they at one time had ostrich burgers too.
Now, that doesn't mean they had ostriches here necessarily, because that could have all come in by train.
Yeah. Well, there were some up in the canyon.
But there were, huh?
Yeah, along the
way. Oh, Bernie knows about ostriches.
Yeah, because when we moved here 32 years ago, there were still ostriches up there that they were growing. Now, the big ostrich farm is over north of Tucson.
Oh.
Wait, okay. I found something.
Oh, hold on. Wait.
I found something.
Melissa has found.
In 1911, I guess, El Paso's latest industry... Ostrich farms.
Oh, really? Hey, there you go.
1911. Oh, my gosh.
Where were they?
I'm looking right now. Ostrich. I'm trying to scan through the article real quick. Continue talking while I do this.
Okay, we'll continue talking.
Oh,
continue
Kemp.
Talking. What?
Mr. T.W. Kemp from Manchester, England, who now is having long lived among ostriches in South Africa. He's brought them to he's partnered with El Pasoans, has founded a farm ranch right at the very city doors.
Wow.
Ronnie, you were right. We didn't know that.
Here's a piece of history that Ronnie brought to our attention.
Well, you know, what I love about your show is that if you're not careful, you can learn something.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And if you're not careful, we're going to make you an omelet. Look out. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
You take her easy. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. All right, moving on to Bernard Sargent being here. Should we go take a break? Circuit wants another break, don't you? He's like that. He's a breakout kind of guy.
Yes, he is.
But we got the Facebook thing going.
Yes, I don't have Bernie's picture up there yet, but we do have. I do have to apologize. It was pointed out by one of our fans. We were talking about a different history moment. We got last week's got run again by accident. So
it was so good.
Yeah, it was so good. We ran it again, and we talked about another one. So you could run the one that we were going to run today next week.
I could do that.
We can do that.
And you're going to be on the train, apparently.
We'll be on the train going west.
Are you going to come back?
We'll be in Douglas next Saturday morning.
Yeah, we will. We'll be Douglas to someplace.
And you're doing a Trost tour for
We're doing the Trost tour. We depart on Thursday, come back on Sunday.
Cool. And you're going to go
architectural tour.
Gather facts and pictures and bring them here and let us see them?
We're going to learn lots.
Yeah, because the people from Tucson came here to see the Trost architecture.
Mm. Yes.
And they're going to be our hosts there.
Yes.
And Margaret Smith is also going to be coming here and riding over and giving us a tour and talk about the Trost family. And so we'll be learning a lot about the Arizona Trost buildings.
Those guys were prolific, and they were basically right along this area in the Southwest. It's
yes,
this was the headquarters.
And
this
I'll be taking copious pictures and hopefully video.
Do a little video on that train.
On the train.
On the train.
Video train. You want some bus video too?
Who?
Bus video?
Yeah, we're taking the bus back.
Oh, are you?
It'll be quicker.
Oh, I see. No, don't do that. But, we're fine with that. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break here and come back and talk about El Paso Inc. We should do that.
I think
But Sergio wants to put a break in there first.
I think he should.
He's like that. So go look at Facebook or whatever you got to do. Yes. Come back in about 3 minutes.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Do you remember when you were three? Of course you don't. But do you remember when your kid was three? Yeah, so much fun. No more diapers. Score! Hey, it's Luke Lowenfield from the all-new Casa Kia on George Dieter. Well, guess who's three now? Casa Kia is. Yep, we're this many. And the late nights and terrible twos are behind us. And I'm quite sure none of our employees are in diapers anymore. Score! So if you have some young ones, like I do, I know safety and affordability are top priorities. So you gotta look at the Casa Kia Forte for $18,985 or the Casa Kia Soul for just $16,995. Look, at Casa Kia, we have six models that start under 25 grand. That's family friendly. And speaking of family, Dad?
Boy, do I remember when you were three. Hey, I'm Clay Lowenfield. Won't tell any bad stories. This is our celebration of 50 years of CASA. So many stories and memories, from inspired to inspiring. I am proud of what my father started at Team CASA, and I am so proud of this next generation. The CASA way is our commitment to all things home. Welcome to Team CASA, and welcome home.
Here at CASA Key.
What if donut shops were like most investment firms? They'd sell one kind of donut and expect everyone to like it. Sprinkles? No. Glaze? No. Ooey gooey fillings? No, no, and no. Creative planning is different. We look at your entire financial picture to create an individual plan just for you. Call 866-CREATIVE or visit creativeplanning.com to learn more. Investment strategies recommended by Creative Planning are not assured of earning a profit or avoiding a loss in declining markets.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got history in the making here with El Paso Inc. because we're going to tell you right now what's going on this week only in El Paso Inc.
Why the owner of one of El Paso's most popular malls is shopping for a buyer.
Also in the ink, two small El Paso brewers have landed big craft beer distributor deals.
Fun food and 170 craft beers are on the tap for the City Beer Fest. What's new this year?
Also, El Paso Inc. is El Paso's only weekly business and lifestyle journal.
To read El Paso Inc. and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
A private border patrolling militia has set up camp guarding the gap in the border fence near Mount Cristo Rey. That's the topic of ABC 7 Extra this week.
Join host Saul Sines for discussion with a member of that militia, plus a representative of the Border Network for Human Rights. That's Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7.
They're getting into stuff, mixing it up in there and telling us what's happening
on the border. Interesting.
Well, a lot going on there. All right, to the point at hand here, we've got Bernie in the house here.
Boiney.
The Bernie Sargent, the guy who is the six guns and shady Bernie kind of guy.
Shady.
Well, it makes sense to me.
No, it's so funny when we get people, it's like, we want to see them six something about the shady girls.
Yeah, okay.
Or the shady guys.
They're all shady. But how'd you come up with that name? Is that just something you thought was cool?
There was a couple of us sitting around the bonfire, so to speak. And
beveraging?
Yeah, it was.
Of course you were beveraging.
No, it wasn't actually. It was an actual meeting.
Yeah, it was an actual meeting, and Patricia was involved with it, Kidney, and Melissa and myself. I think Ken Smith was there, too.
So who cooked up that name?
The five of us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because in all actuality, I had been looking at doing this because I was kind of commandeered into going up to TRC. Great story, but it's long to tell.
Too long.
Yeah.
Some other day.
So I was up there, and there was a previous two groups before, and they asked me if I wanted to be a member of it, and it was just not being led very well. And they kind of disintegrated, and started another group, and that was kind of a strange group. And so we were sitting around one day and said, we really need to look at doing something a little bit more conducive to the environment, so we can provide edutainment as opposed to just strictly education or strictly entertainment. We wanted to be everything for the people. And we also wanted to make sure that the ladies were involved, because God knows my wife wouldn't let me play this if I didn't let her be involved. And so we thought, well, okay, we have six guns. That's a good one. Okay, what are we? The gals. So Shady Ladies. Yeah, okay, let's do it that way.
So it goes.
And so it goes. 23 years ago.
Well, geez, yeah.
This city should thank you for doing that. I mean, there's been a lot of interest in the Old West forever all around the planet. And El Paso being one of the best of the Old West capitals of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
Really should step up to it. And you guys are about the only consistent long-term effort to promoting and looking at the gunfight era and the gunfighters themselves.
The longest.
Which made a tremendous impact on the history of everywhere in the West.
You know, it's interesting because we've always said, you and I and Melissa have always said, when we're talking to people, they always think of El Paso. They think of the Old West.
Yeah.
And I was at the Museum of History the other night when they unveiled the Tom Lee mural up on the wall.
Uh-huh.
And one of the ladies that had just gotten back from Brussels from a tour over there, she goes, you know what? They were talking to us about that, and they were really excited. They'd like to go to El Paso. They wanted to see the Old West. I went, well, I guess we better find it then.
Yeah.
You know, Europeans, the folks from the South, from Asia, they all think of us as Old West.
Yeah. And it's funny because our group gets continually almost every year from True West Magazine, which is like the
Bible.
The Bible of Old West history,
yeah.
Gets an award from them for being one of the best Old West reenactment groups. And we don't have the tombstone background. We don't have all these places that have these great Old West backdrops to do our reenactments.
Oh, the physical plant is gone.
Yeah, no facades.
We don't have any facades. So we have to try to recreate it and present it in our own personal way. And obviously, we do a pretty good job. But it would be nice to have a physical background.
Well, you also would be nice if you had some corporate and or government help from time to time.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, they at least don't get in the way. For example, in 1993, there was a vote in county commissioner's court to never allow funding of any kind for any gunfighter reenactment.
Yep.
They passed that in 1993
and
adamantly said, you know, we don't do guns. You missed the point.
Yeah.
We're not about shooting people. We're about recreating Old West history, which was very colorful, and people like to see what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it was violent. There's no two ways about it.
And plus, it's imperative that when we do our reenactments, we share safety. We tell them safety first.
You have a huge safety demonstration every time.
Yeah. And we don't want people of any age, not just kids, to misunderstand what a weapon is all about. And so we try to make sure that they understand that those things, they can hurt you.
But that's how the West was changed by force.
Yeah.
From moment by moment on a gunfighter, either from a sheriff or a lawman of some kind.
Or a ne'er-do-well.
Oh, just a bunch of ne'er-do-wells. I mean, you know, you had, back in the 1870s around El Paso, you had so many things going on. Mm-hmm. One of them comes to mind was a shooting war up in New Mexico.
Yeah.
The Lincoln County War, mid-70s, and you had the Salt Wars. That was mid-70s, 1870s. Mm-hmm. There was a lot going on here, and then right in that era, El Paso was just exploding with the trains coming in 81, and all the riffraff that showed up, they all had guns.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they did for a number of different reasons, some for just protection, some because they wanted to exert their egos.
So it goes. Put that call on hold, Shelley, so I can get it. You can't put that call on hold? Let me see if I can put that call on hold. All right, let me see.
She's having too much fun talking to him.
Now we put that call in the air. Is this Bob? Put Bob.
How you
on.
Doing?
Hey, Bob Keller. Good morning. How's it going?
Morning.
Morning, Bob.
The sloth was it was found by Waterhouse, who was an architect. And he called in. They thought it was a bear, the people that saw it.
Oh, you said sloth.
And, yeah, from last week's show.
Oh, from last week's show, we were talking about finding a sloth down in the Aiden Crater.
Yeah, you're not talking about Bernie.
And they brought in a man from Denver, and he said, no, it was a sloth. And they've sent it up to the Peabody Museum, and it still had tendons on it and some hair.
I'll be darned.
And I'll get a picture to you all on it.
Be interesting. Cool. But that was found in a lava tube in the Aiden Crater over near the in the Portrillo Mountains. And it caused all kinds of concern because you're finding a sloth in the middle of the desert. Okay, fascinating. Well, thank you for filling in that piece of the puzzle.
All righty.
You take her easy.
Bye, Bob.
Thanks a lot, Bob. There's a lot going on in El Paso. The ancient history, we had that on last week. And I'll be getting that that put online pretty quick here. But a lot of people are listening to these radio shows after the fact.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing. It's a resource.
Yeah.
That's why we replay the history moment.
Yeah.
That's a resource.
But no, I mean, that's great, though, that you get that. That's what I love is the participation from the audience, too.
Well, everybody's got a piece of this history here because, I mean, there's nobody that we know, I know, that knows everything.
Yeah.
No.
And some people who think they do, and they don't work well with the rest of us.
People were here at the time. And that had read about it or knew about it at that time, just like we do with the bomber that hit the mountain.
B-52.
I always love hearing the stories when people share their personal story on what happened at that time.
Oh, yeah, it's like when Kennedy was killed. Where were you that
where
day?
Were you?
Well, the same thing when that bomber hit the mountain. I mean, that was some stuff that just blew people away.
Yeah. People have come
my
up
mother
to us.
Thought my mother was on the other side of the mountain and could see the black smoke coming up over the mountain. She was pretty sure, she didn't understand volcanoes, but she was pretty sure the Franklins had turned into a volcano. Because it was just a massive fireball.
So mom drank a lot, huh?
I know. Mom was dealing with young 1.5-year-old num-num here and looking at the mountain exploding and thinking, now what is she supposed to do? Drinking was not part of her world at all.
Yeah.
But maybe she did the driver. But there's so much history.
Oh, it's incredible.
That just kills me that the city doesn't cash in on it. Mm-hmm. And you go back to that county commissioner's court vote. Well, we don't do that here. We're better than that. That's nonsense. It's your dadgum history. Like it or not.
Well, you know, a little anecdotal piece of information. You know, the Eastwood High School has the Blue Whistler Cannon.
Oh, okay.
And the Pioneer Association is the legal owners of it. They were given, that was given to us by the McGinty Band. And so we're working a deal with.
That's 100 years ago.
I know. We're working a deal now where they have a display. It's all set up. It's a beautiful, beautiful arrangement that we have with Eastwood High School. And unfortunately, in today's world, we have to have an arrangement with Eastwood High School that says, in the event that there's some kind of a dissension where any military equipment, has nothing to do with the Confederacy or anything like that, any military equipment. Comes up and they want to dispose of the cannon, has to come back to the Pioneer Association.
Yeah.
And it's really sad that we're continuously trying to rewrite history for the sake of the values of that present day. And we have to look back and say, well, wait a minute. Things were different back then. You know, I mentioned Kearney and when they wrote that occupational law and said that they didn't want any part of slavery. I mean, that was wonderful. But back in the day, that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I was against the grain.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal now, but it's a really big deal back then. And another, I was going to touch base on a group of soldiers that traveled with Kearney.
The Mormons.
The Mormons. And it was called the Mormon Battalion. It was kind of an interesting little piece of information. I happened to see something about it. And, you know, I knew that Donovan had a relationship with the Mormons. And I knew that, at Keystone, for instance, we refer to the gulls that spend their winters down there as the Mormon Miracle because of what they did to save the crops up in Utah. But the Mormon Battalion, the reason they got involved was they kept being persecuted and chased west. And Brigham Young thought, well, we need to do something to raise an appreciation for who we are. You know, people aren't going to accept our faith, but maybe they can accept us. So he sent a representation to Washington, D.C. and said, look, we'd like to help out in any way, shape, or form that we can. So what they did is they found 500 volunteers, so to speak, conscripted volunteers, and the American government committed to pay them $42 each to serve as service members under Kearney traveling west. And that $42 each went right back to the Mormon church. And they could wear their civilian clothes. They didn't have to wear uniforms. So they served under Kearney. Now, initially, the two soldiers, the commanding officer and the surgeon that was in charge, were ruthless. They didn't like the Mormons, and they really treated them badly. That's when they brought in Cook to be their commanding officer, and I mentioned Cook in the earlier morning.
Were the Mormons armed and killing people?
No.
They were just doing what?
They were peaceful. They wanted to be farmers. They wanted to set up permanent residence.
So what good were they doing being in an army?
Well, that what it was is they were hoping it would provide them sort of more respect within the Americans, the United States, and they would become part of the United States. They would become Americans and welcomed as Americans, not as some very unique faith.
But as an army, a bunch of guys that don't have guns and won't
shoot.
Well,
no, they gave them guns to serve.
Oh, they did?
Yes,
that was
did.
My question.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. I misinterpreted
that. All right, we got phone calls coming in here. We're going to take a break and come back in last segment here. Maybe ask Bernie about Shelby.
Or
Susan Shelby.
Or the Battle of the Bulls.
And we still have one question open.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
We have, which U.S. president commissioned James Wiley McGoffin to lead General Kearney and his troops to peacefully capture Santa Fe?
Oh.
So we still have $20 open for Pepe.
I'm thinking of a four-letter word right now.
I am too.
So take a break.
Today's the day to help secure your family's tomorrow, and for less than you may think. With a USAA life insurance policy, you can provide for the everyday. Visit USAA.com. Life insurance provided by USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas.
What is certainty? Certainty is the passionate commitment to fulfill every promise. Certainty is 4imprint, a caring, trusted team of promotional product experts, minding every detail to ensure your logo will look perfect on everything from apparel, drinkware to trade show traffic stoppers and hot tech. All delivered on time, every time, with the promise of your satisfaction guaranteed. So, what does certainty bring? Promotional items exceeding expectations. A buzz of excitement for your team and your customers. A pep in your step, a fist pump, a whoop, a tingle, a grin, a laugh. Or even one quiet word that no one will ever hear. Yes! Explore thousands of promotional products at 4imprint.com. That's the number 4imprint.com. 4imprint. For certain.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to 4hims.com/play. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/play. That's 4hims.com/play for your first month for just $5. 4hims.com/play.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hi, I'm actress Tanya Wright. My younger brother was killed at the hands of violence, which inspired me to make a film about peace and forgiveness called Butterfly Rising. Now it's your turn. The annual Peace in the Streets International Film Festival is inviting young people around the world to produce a short video about how they envision peace in their own neighborhood and in the world. The winners will be invited to visit the United Nations in New York City. Visit psgff.com for more information on how to submit.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles.
and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, we got trivia coming here. We got a contestant on the phone. But Bernie, wrap up who was Susan Shelby McGoffin in this whole McGoffin
crowd? Yeah, she's purported and reported and studied and supposedly the first American woman to come through this particular piece of country.
Really?
She was a sister-in-law of James Wiley McGoffin.
Okay.
Samuel, who was her brother, a younger brother.
So he was an explorer type as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. They were merchants.
So by she came down a mission, not mission trail, but the
Santa Fe and Chihuahua Trail.
Trail, both those trails.
Yeah.
And she was like 18 and the bride.
She got married. They were, just a few months into her marriage, she was on the trail.
Interesting
and
stuff.
And it's a great story. And that deserves a one-hour segment on its own.
Oh, it does. No, but yeah. She's it was something else.
Yeah.
All right. Get these calls in before we go home. Let's see, going to Maria. Maria, you have a trivia question, right? Put Maria.
President.
There we go. Yes. Can you answer that one?
I think it's President Polk.
Polk.
I think you're right.
A four-letter word named Polk.
Oh. How could you miss that one with our host here, Jackson Polk?
That's him, yeah. Well,
I just got home and heard you say about the president and... And I had missed my last prize on Father Ochoa because I couldn't find the address.
You mean where to pick it up? You mean where to pick
pardon?
Up? Oh, yeah, where to pick up the prize?
This one, sure.
Oh, yeah. No, stay on the phone here. Shelley will tell you all that stuff. You got yourself $20 of a certificate for Pepe's, all right?
Oh, boy. Thank you.
Hold on here. She'll tell you how to pick that. Line 3's got a prize there, Shelley. All right, moving over to what else we got here. Oh, the Patricia. Hey, Chico, what's up?
Hey, I was going to answer the trivia question, but then I realized, I don't have a way to, I won't have time to go get it anyway. Someone else.
You're
going to
be busy for a while, yes.
So what else is up?
I'm going to be very busy. Well, I'm sitting here looking at the beautiful wildflowers that are at the Buffalo Soldier area. Some of our community service people planted these seeds, and they're up high. And you all, I'm inviting everyone to come out and look at these.
This is Concordia Cemetery where you are.
Right.
Concordia Cemetery.
Cool.
Yes. Sure. And then lunch. Is anybody going to lunch?
I'm going. We'll go out there. Roy may make it. Who knows? It's this pair here.
You're going to have to... make sure you avoid I-10 because it's closed between Executive and Mesa.
Wow. Right. So it's a drop down to Donovan?
I'll go over the mountain. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's
fine.
We won't be there
because we have to go to Keystone.
And
so.
The Croom thing on the back of the menu is the special.
Croom. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, we'll see you out there, Patricia.
Talk to you next week, Patricia.
You take her easy. She's another one of those people that's going to promote what she knows how to promote in front of her, and that would be Concordia. So
that's right.
Bernie, we're about out of time here. Any last famous last words from you for a while?
Well, I'd just like to thank everybody for the opportunity to be here and thank everybody for listening to the program and being patient with us because there's so much information, like you say all the time, that they just don't teach this anymore.
And it's in so many layers, it's formidable to try to figure it out.
I spent 4 hours this morning just looking at anecdotal information about this whole adventure that James Wiley McGoffin launched. And that was just this morning.
And that was just one crew of people showing up here. Well, there's a lot of history in El Paso. We thank you all for listening. We do like the idea of teaching the history, but then I like the idea better of learning it.
Yes.
And that's what I've been sitting in this chair for coming up on just almost a full 18 years.
You'll be fully vested.
Vested in 18 years. And that's just where I learned it because I didn't learn it in school.
Yeah, and I'll have been here since 2011 as a full-time, but we've been on and off the show for almost the same amount of time ourselves. Even before you were on, we were on with Charlie Russell and Leon.
Back in the
way back.
Back in the day. Well, we're going to get out of here now. We'll see you next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
We got two hosts. to take your spot next week.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to put Shelly in for 1 hour, Shelly Sutherland.
Shelly.
And Cindy Milazzo will also be co-host the second hour.
Cool.
And they're
going to
sweep call screening in the middle, and Sergio's going to go crazy. Thank you all for listening with us this week, and we'll see you at ephistory.com for details.
That's right, and I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Come back then, and tell us about the Trost train.
I will tell you. Have a book report.
Everybody else, see you next week. Thanks, bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso. Meet.